We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It happens every single week. It becomes Friday. Better yet, Friday night, Audrey. So glad to be back on the air hanging with you this Friday night.
I'm hungry.
Me too. It's after dinner.
I know. Yeah. I wonder if our guests brought us any food.
I don't know.
Ooh.
Possibly.
Ooh.
What do you think? So we have Hidden Harvest, part of 412 Food Rescue, with us hanging out. We're jumping right into the show, Audrey. We are,
because I was hungry.
I know.
I wanted to see if they brought any goods.
I know.
Or goodies.
Goodies.
And apparently they didn't.
Oh.
And that's okay. We still have good stuff to talk about.
Absolutely.
So who's in the house?
Hey, I'm Hannah Heumann. I'm Senior Program Manager at 412 Food Rescue.
Wow.
For special programs and projects.
You're one of our favorite companies.
That's awesome.
I'm just saying, you're solving big problems all at the same time.
Yep.
People being hungry and people wasting food.
So what is 412 Food Rescue for those people who might not know?
Sure. So for those who don't know, 412 Food Rescue addresses the disconnect between the fact that 40% of our food is wasted and at the same time, 1 in 7 people in Allegheny County experiences food insecurity. So that means that people have no guarantee of where their next meal comes from.
That's frightening.
Yeah. And what I always try to tell people when I talk about 412 Food Rescue is it's not that you look in the refrigerator and you say, oh, I don't have anything in my fridge tonight. I'm just going to go out to eat. It's I really look inside and there is no food.
There's nothing there.
There's
literally
nothing.
Right.
Yeah. So what 412 Food Rescue does is we address this disconnect through a mobile app. We have the 412 Food Rescue Volunteer Hero app, where we work with food donors, food retailers, grocery stores, distributors. We pick up their surplus food. It's matched with an appropriate nonprofit organization. We put it on our app. It goes out to this network of volunteers. And if anybody's in the area, they pick up the rescue. It walks you through all the steps on the app. Takes about 30 minutes. You've just prevented food from going to the landfill, and you've gotten it to people
that need it.
And can use it immediately.
That's why I said you're solving big problems.
So there's an app,
right?
And tell people about that so that we can get a whole bunch of folks downloading that app and participating.
Yes. Would love to have as many people as possible. If you have a smartphone, which most of us do, pull it up. It's the 412 Food Rescue Volunteer Hero app. It's on the App Store and Google Play. It's very similar to if you're an Uber driver or if you're a Lyft driver, you get a notification on your phone in real time that says there's a rescue available in your area.
There's bagels at Giant Eagle.
Bagels at Giant Eagle?
Yeah.
What are we going to do? We have to rescue it.
Someone's like, I live close to that Giant Eagle.
Exactly.
I will drive there and rescue those bagels and take them to a homeless shelter where they know people can eat those bagels that are still great to be eaten.
Exactly. So everything is in there for you as a volunteer. All you have to do is look at the app, accept a rescue. It walks you through the steps.
Right.
You're all done. You get to take a selfie. You get to show it off. You can share it on your social media, show your friends and family, and get everybody else involved in seeing how great of an opportunity this is for those of us with really busy schedules. If you have a lot going on, you can fit in 30 minutes for a volunteer opportunity as opposed to, taking maybe 4 hours or a whole day.
Right.
It's really easy and it makes a big difference.
Very much so.
So you also do this program where you harvest fruit from fruit trees.
Yep.
I love this.
And that's
so cool.
A partnership with the city of Pittsburgh. Tell us about that.
So Hidden Harvest actually started by two women who no longer live in Pittsburgh, who were very much into foraging and into gleaning. So gleaning is the process of traditionally on farms when there is surplus produce that's still in the fields, you glean the fields. So you basically clear the fields of any of that produce that you have left that, for whatever reason, you're not going to sell. And it helps farms to make way for new crops. And farms often donate that.
I see.
Okay.
extra produce. So that's where gleaning really comes from. So Hidden Harvest, the idea was, you know, if you look around and once you start really noticing, you'll see it a lot. There are trees in people's backyards, on private property, on city property that have fruit growing off of them falls on the ground.
There is literally a tree. I live in Edgewood.
It's
a big old apple tree at the middle of a hill. Okay. All the apples end up on Edgewood Avenue. And there's tons of them. Like, they're good-sized apples.
Could you make apple pie with them?
I don't know if they're cooking apples or not, but they're apples, and they literally hit the ground and roll into the street.
So you're saying that this year, 412 Food Rescue should
I'm going to geolocate that tree for you guys.
Awesome!
And you can probably make, like, 100 gallons of cider out of that tree.
Great. That's awesome.
Just saying.
Yeah.
So cool.
So the recipients of this food.
Yeah.
So talk about that. We talk about people who really do have empty refrigerators, and you gave us some data.
Yeah.
But you're actually giving this food to organizations.
So it's a mix of things.
Okay.
Hidden Harvest, the idea behind it was, let's try to get as much fruit off these trees as possible, and then we basically look at what we have available. Okay, what is available that we can donate? Because we're typically giving our nonprofit partners fruit and vegetables from the grocery store, from distributors.
Right.
It's great. You would never know that it needs to be rescued. Like, when you volunteer, you're like, I would eat this. It's fine.
It's a good-looking pepper.
So we don't want to donate apples that are covered in bruises, covered in pest marks, things like that. So we sort them. What we can donate, we do, same way that we would a rescue.
Okay.
What is not donatable, we actually earmark to create value-added products out of this.
Like cider. Yeah.
So the first year, we partnered with Wiggle Whiskey. We created a Pomo, which is like an apple brandy.
Mm-hmm.
Then we really expanded our Hidden Harvest program last year. The first year, we were just harvesting in September and October. We expanded last year from June through October.
Wow.
So we last year harvested mulberries that went to Millie's Homemade Ice Cream to create Mulberry Reserve. And it really was reserve. I mean, there was like 100 pints and that was it. And it was gone.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. So we did that. And then we expanded our partnership with Threadbare Cider, or Wiggle Whiskey, you know, started Threadbare Cider. And we created 412 City Cider. Now, the really cool thing about 412 City Cider is, in addition to apples that are not donatable, we can use crab apples. So crab apples are abundant on City of Pittsburgh trees. And while crab apples are not poisonous, people can think that, if you eat too many crab apples, your stomach won't feel great. So
they taste great, though.
They're totally sour. They have a really nice tartness, great to cook with. And what we did with Threadbare is they were like, we want these crab apples. We would love to make a cider out of them. So we harvested apples, we harvested crab apples, and they put them all together. The magic happened over at Threadbare, and now we have 412 City Cider, which launched this past January.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. And
it's so cool.
Super awesome. And the great thing about these products is the revenue generated goes right back into 412 Food Rescue. So it goes right back to supporting our food recovery program and the work that we do.
So how much demand is there
for
food? Like, in terms of the work that you're doing?
Sure. So in terms of the food recovery program, there is, you know, there's constant demand for food. We have, you know, we are very fortunate. We have so many partners that we work with. We work with over 400 food retailers over Allegheny County. And then we also expanded this year to the 724.
So give us the website. We got to roll to a break. So what do you got? People want to learn more about you. Where can they go?
412foodrescue.org.
Just that simple. Thank you so much for stopping by. We've got a great show in front of us. Audrey, we have ENIAC Ventures, a little podcast with them. We have Nano Grip Tech and iCam Architects. Keep your dial tuned right here. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Rousseau.
Learn more about us at pghtech.org. Oh, Audrey, I tell you what. I'm really looking forward to this segment.
You know me. How people work.
I know. Setting up your office space. Making a great place to be.
Yeah, you're good about that. You're sort of good about your little space. But outside of that,
I'm terrible.
You're not.
No, I'm awful. But inside there, I'm fantastic.
Inside his little cocoon, he's really pretty good. But then when you ask him, like, How about the rest of the place? I don't really care.
No, it doesn't matter. It's not in my environment.
I don't have it. It doesn't matter. It
doesn't matter. So we have Jonathan Lucen here from IKM Architects. Thanks for hanging out with us tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so tell us about yourself and IKM.
Well, we're a 70-person architecture firm in downtown.
Yeah.
The 11 Stanwyck Street on the 22nd floor. So, and we're, you know, again, a 70-person firm that does mostly healthcare, higher ed.
Ah, okay.
K-12 work.
That's your specialty kind of place where you design.
My specialty is workplace design.
Okay.
Is it?
Yeah.
Wow.
So how long have you been doing workplace design for?
About 5 years now. So,
okay.
Yeah.
And it's so important these days. I feel like it's really become like this thing where I hear more people talking about it now than ever before when it comes to having the right type of workspaces, making the great environment for your people, because it really is conducive towards wellness and being happy at work. And God forbid you're happy at work, right?
Well, we want our people happy.
I actually don't want Jonathan to be happy.
She wants me to be miserable at work.
For other people, that would be fine.
Right.
Exactly.
So give us a history. The firm's been around for how long?
We've actually been around since 1911 in various forms. So,
oh,
yeah.
1911.
Yeah, but we're the second oldest architecture firm in the city.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
But our kind of where we've been now in terms of, where we've come to, we've had the ownership for about 12 years.
Gotcha.
So they bought from a single proprietor, and then they've now expanded. I just became a principal this year.
Gotcha.
Oh, congratulations,
man.
Very exciting. So,
congratulations.
And your workspace is pretty freaking cool, if I must say.
No, thank you. Yeah.
We've had the tour there from the council, and we're like, man, you guys have it switched up.
It was a great process, and we're really, really excited about where we came from, where we were in PPG Place. We were in a space that was almost 30 years old and was designed for architecture back in the 1980s. And, it was like an old car from the 80s, right? It was time for an upgrade.
How much khaki did you get rid of?
It was a lot of samples, a lot of drawings that we found, that were kind of rolled up in a ball and underneath a desk that had been there for 30 years.
Oh my goodness.
It was pretty amazing that trying to clean out your house when you're ready to move.
Yeah. So we want to have you kind of go over these like 5 tips for making your office the complete package.
Well, one of the things that, we started with was, who we were as an organization.
Right.
We really talked about our mission, our vision, our values as an organization. Obviously, architecture is our product that we produce, but, we really wanted to be a family. We really wanted to see what kind of culture we wanted to create for our people to work in and to be successful in. So that was our main focus. And, obviously, we took a lot of introspection, a lot of navel gazing. And one of the things that we did was we really involved all of our staff to come together and talk about how do we want to work as an organization. Before, we talked about offices or workstations or kitchens,
colors,
or
anything
like that. We just talked about what was the place that we wanted to create, the culture we wanted to create.
What's
for our
the
people.
Vibe that you want going
exactly.
on when you're there? Right?
Exactly.
And what was the vibe?
Yeah, what was the vibe?
Well, the old vibe, I think, was we were rooted again in 1980s kind of culture, so that we had old big desks for people that used to draw on the boards and stuff like that. And this was right before computers took over. So now we're all, digitized and everything else in the way that we work. So, and then also the generations were changing over as well. I mean,
definitely
we talk a lot about the millennial generation coming in, and they have a different way that they, grew up and went to school. And we wanted to have a place that would be attractive to them to come and work as well.
For sure.
So make it a little bit more mobile, get people moving around a little bit more, doing that type of thing, not just sitting at a desk for 8 hours a day.
That's so much fun.
And so what kinds of things did you do to sort of facilitate that?
Well, we did a thing what we called a round robin, which was we actually took a morning and we took the whole firm and we brought them together. And we actually had 5 different stations and we broke people off into 5 groups.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And then we actually, each station talked about one thing or another about the office. So we had one that talked about what kind of workstations do we want. We had one thing that talked about how do we want to be more collaborative. We had one thing that talked about technology and what kinds of technology that we wanted to have at our fingertips in the new office. One of the biggest decisions that we made was where do we want to actually have the office?
Location is, so at this point, the environment, but what really dictates that environment is where it's going to be.
Absolutely.
Right?
And it was interesting that, we did a survey during that round robin and people overwhelmingly want to be downtown.
Okay.
Because of transportation, because of the growing amenities.
Yeah.
I would credit the transformation of Market Square as being one of those things.
I would believe so.
Where we saw the city really starting to flourish in the downtown area, and mm-hmm. people wanted to be there. It was, it wasn't just a 9-to-5 downtown like it was 20 years ago when
people
I started.
People want that, right?
15 years ago, those said Wexford.
Exactly.
And now they're saying
I
moved downtown.
I wanted that when I moved here in 2001, but it seemed like other people didn't.
Right.
Yeah. And the other cities had it, and I think now we're starting to see that, the downtown regentrification in a lot of ways is helping to, you know, really, you know, bring, you know, new businesses that want to be downtown because of the talent. You know, we're all in a race for talent at this point. And so we wanted to be there and be able to attract the best talent.
It puts
you
office. In the middle of
and
everything.
And so talk about in-office employee wellness.
Well, that's one thing that came out of that round robin as well, is that, you know, again, it's not just about coming to work every day and sitting down at a lunch table and eating your lunch and doing other things. We felt that, you know, we were looking more at lifestyle now and being more holistic about the things that we were trying to accomplish as an organization.
Right.
You know, we pride ourselves, our motto is to make a difference. We wanted to make a difference not only in the work that we do, but also with the people that are coming to our office to work. So we really took on a big wellness program, you know, where there's bringing fresh food in the office every week. You know, there's getting involved in a lot of different activities like, you know, doing the Pittsburgh Marathon. You know, having running groups, having biking groups, that type of thing. You know, there's a lot of things that we were trying to kind of germinate to get people to get more active and move. So
absolutely. And also, it just creates that sense of family. Because, I mean, we spend so much time at work. I mean, our coworkers become our second family. And so having activities to participate in, I think it just creates all more wellness around the office. So,
absolutely, without a doubt. And so, I mean, and it also helps with the collaboration aspect as well. I mean, it helps with the work. If you're, you know, social with your coworkers, you know, it's easier to be able to come together to work
exactly.
on a problem and solve it. Or if you have to stay late because, you know, you have to have a deadline or something like that, it just makes it easier in that regard.
Absolutely. So we're talking to ICAM Architects. So glad to have you here. So let's talk a little bit about the idea of the flexible environment. Because that's just so important to create that flexibility. What else can we be doing when it comes to developing a flexible work environment?
Well, again, I think it's, you know, work is not just done at the desk anymore. I think work is done you know, throughout the office and even outside the office now. And the nice thing about flexibility, too, is it allows, you know, people who have different types of family arrangements, things like that, to be able to work remotely, but also to come in and be able to move around the office as well, to work in a different environment because they have a specific task that they're kind of working on at that time. So
okay.
whether it's, you know, they have to do some head down work or they have to actually work in a group. Or you know what? I just want to sit at the point lounge that we have,
right.
which overlooks the point, and because I just want to have a view of the point today. So.
I would be hanging out in your point lounge all the time.
We do a lot.
That's
yeah.
where I would be.
That is the most
popular.
I'm
taking the space today. No one else is going to be.
It's the most popular place in our office. So.
So do you think that this design and the things that you're wrestling with now, is it good for the next decade, or is this something that we're going to have to be more fluid about?
I think it is a fluidity issue. You know, I mean,
you got to go back and check on it like every few years.
And I think we continue to do that. So we took a survey 1 week before we moved out of PPG Place and on 10 different variables, metrics that we used. We took the same survey about a month later to see how we had done in terms of like, how is your workstation? How is the temperature in the office? How's the lighting? Those types of things. Overwhelmingly, we went up after that first, you know, that first month.
Okay.
We did it again 6 months later, but we looked at other things that were a little bit different. We wanted to see, like, where do you feel most creative in the
right,
office?
Right.
What are the areas that are working and what's some of the areas that aren't working? So it's really a kind of a test lab for us in a lot of ways.
Very
it also
cool.
influences the design that we do, whether it's healthcare or higher ed or our workplace design. You know, it helps to infer upon, you know, how people want to work and what works and what doesn't. So
for
we're
sure.
getting instant feedback from kind of our it became really a test bed for our way of design. So.
I love it.
So
cool.
What should we be thinking about, those of us who are in current spaces or they're thinking about new spaces? What should we be thinking about?
Mission, vision, and values are so important, and you have to engage mm-hmm. your staff. That would be the two things that I would say. Understand who you are,
exactly.
understand what culture you're trying to create.
If people learn more about IKM, where can they go and check you out and learn more about all this great stuff?
Well, we're on the web at www.ikminc.com. We're also on Facebook and Instagram, and come on up to 11 Stanwix, 22nd floor. We're
right.
always up for a
seriously. Call up and get a visit. Some great inspiration there when you design your space, and work with ICAM on that while you're at it. So, Jonathan, thanks for hanging out with us.
Thank you so much, guys. I really appreciate the opportunity.
I could nerd out on this stuff for hours. Oh, too much fun. Too much fun. Hey, we're taking a quick break. We're coming right back with more Tech Vibe Radio. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
Learn more about the Pittsburgh Tech Council by going to pghtech.org. Hey, everybody. I am so glad you are spending your Friday night with us here on Tech Vibe Radio. We bring you the most exciting tech companies here in the Pittsburgh region. Really, Audrey, they're doing us proud. I'm telling you.
Oh, I love these
great
guys.
Companies, and NanoGrip Tech lives right up to that for sure. One of the coolest companies in Pittsburgh. Just working on just crazy stuff. I can't wait to jump right into this, Audrey.
Let's just jump in. Come on. Let's just jump in. We don't need any
it's
triviality.
It's going to be a gripping interview. That's all I can say. I can't resist. I had to say it.
I heard all of the jokes.
I can totally stop.
Every minute I'm going to drop a new one. I'm just
saying. Okay, you need to stop. I will stop. Or else we're going to cut your mic off.
We've got some great guests here. Let's introduce everybody here. So, Nick, let's start with you, man.
I'm Nick Kuhn. I'm CEO of Nanogrip Tech.
And I'm Paul Glass. I'm the VP of Engineering at Nanogrip Tech.
Are either of you the co-founders? Is there a co-founder in the house? No?
There's not.
There's not. Okay.
So the co-founder is Metin City, who is a professor from CMU. He was the one who invented this technology originally, and he now actually is at the Max Planck Institute in Germany.
Ah,
so he's moved his family over there. He's still an attending professor at CMU.
Gotcha.
Paul knows him a lot better than I do. I just joined the company about 6 months ago.
Where were you before this, Nick?
I was the CEO of Along Technologies for about 10 years.
Exactly.
And then chief business officer for about 5 years. So a good portion of my career here in Pittsburgh has been at Along.
Absolutely. So, Paul, tell our listeners, Nanogrip Tech, what is the elevator pitch for Nanogrip Tech?
So we're making adhesives inspired by the structures that exist on gecko lizards' feet.
I love it. So cool.
Geckos have millions of these nano hairs on their feet.
Right.
It lets them climb up walls and stick to ceilings. And they're not at all tacky when you touch them. So,
okay.
All of these little tiny points of contact, they bend and they adapt to surfaces that might look flat to the naked eye.
But there's actually texture there.
Exactly.
Right?
So these little hairs bend. They make contact that's so intimate that you get a little attractive force that's a dry force, weak force, but with millions of them, they add up to be really sticky. So we've engineered a way to make synthetic adhesives that have the same fundamental approach to sticking to things.
Wow. That is...
And so do you own a gecko?
I do not. We've talked about a mascot, but who would come in on the weekends to feed it?
Do you use their insurance?
You could bring it home, just like in nursery school. You bring it home.
Yeah, there you go. We could rotate.
Uh-huh.
Maybe we'll think about that. The cricket... feeding protocol would have to be defined.
Right. Is that what they live on?
The protocol.
Crickets?
I think so, yeah.
So the company's been around for a while, right?
Yes.
But now you're really you're really ramping up, don't you think?
Yeah, actually we just signed a lease today for a new facility. So we're excited about that. 6,000 square feet
in
Lawrenceville, our favorite spot in Pittsburgh. And we're going to do both our manufacturing there and have our offices. So right now we're spread over 3 locations, and we're looking forward to having everybody together.
So everyone's coming into one location?
Yeah.
And that's what's the chocolate factory in
The chocolate factory, it's an RIDC building.
Yeah.
So
RIDC is a good partner of ours. I know they're so excited about having you guys, having Nanogrip Tech as one of their tenants, because they're really looking at robotics companies and all these new tech companies and really giving them the right space that they need.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I mean, we really are excited about having the ability to make product in high volumes, which is a key for the company. So that's a big next step for us.
So let's talk about use case. So who are your potential customers, or what can you share with us in terms of the functionality in the market? So people think about Nanogrip Tech.
So a big application for us is for adhesives that improve grip to skin. So, for example, your fitness band not sliding around, getting a more accurate reading.
Okay, yeah.
Your glasses not sliding down the bridge of your
nose. Oh, I want a coating of that on the bridge of my glasses.
Exactly. Yeah. When you're jogging, your earbuds staying in place when you run. So those kind of applications, that's a big side of the business. A second side is that we manufacture different tapes and adhesives, more for industrial applications or for assembly. So getting your car seat to stick together in a new way, but a way that might bring down costs or improve the design capabilities of different automotive brands.
That's such a huge spectrum.
It is.
Of applications, which I think has got to be really interesting, especially for a small company where, I mean, you got to be just completely concentrated in one area and then looking at a whole other area. So, like, I don't know, like ADD must be going on to a certain point.
It is
point.
A challenge because we have such a wide range of opportunities.
Right.
So, but, you know, these days in startups, you try and repeat and try and repeat.
Right.
And that's
right.
What we're doing. We're trying a lot of different things.
Seeing where it works, where it doesn't work. And then...
Yeah, we're seeing where we get traction. And we have medical applications, industrial applications. So, yeah, But it's all
cool to have like
above.
A contest. Could we have a contest to see if people come up with
different ways to use nano grip tech technology?
Nano-grip tech?
Absolutely.
Well, we're actually making it available to anyone through McMaster Car. We're just launching with McMaster Car. I don't know if you guys are familiar.
No.
Paul, you can describe that.
Tell us about this.
That's an engineering thing.
Yeah, it's probably like it's almost like Amazon for engineers. Next day shipping, any nut, bolt, widget, tape, glue that you could possibly want that they're not going to have at Lowe's or Home Depot. You go to McMaster, they have tens of thousands of products delivered to you next day.
The crazy fun stuff.
Exactly. So we're going to be up there with their next update in the adhesive section any day now. By the time this airs, we might be online.
Okay.
So,
interesting.
So anybody who wants to get it can try it and build whatever they want and then come back to us with an awesome application.
That's a great way to get it out there and have other people nerd out on your stuff and see what they can do with it.
Right. So you buy it, and what kind of, how do you sell it?
Yeah, how's it come?
Customer, it'll come in a flat sheet.
A flat sheet?
Yeah.
And you actually cut strips of it out, or
cut
the shape that you need, or whatever it is.
Exactly.
And
start sticking stuff together.
Buy that.
Huh.
There are so many things that jiggle around.
I think I need to.
It's like the stabilization of the world.
Exactly. I want to line a hat with it. Put it on my head and walk into a gale force wind in my hat.
I know.
You can use it to attach your cell phone to the front of your car.
To my face.
An employee who does
just
that.
Stick it to the side of your face.
And then it can peel back off.
Peel back off.
Yeah.
So someone's trusting their smartphone, gluing it to the front of their car.
Well, to their dashboard.
Oh, to their dashboard. Oh, okay. I was thinking to the front.
So it doesn't slide around.
Think how many things slide.
She drives pretty quickly. Yeah.
Interesting.
We're onto this. We may have like a local competition going on here.
Excellent.
We want to set something
up. We could do like an afternoon where everyone gets together and we work on it together.
The more ideas, the better.
Don't get too excited, Paul. Don't get too excited.
he's excited. Well, I mean, part of it is that I imagine, as we heard, we're talking to Nano Grip Tech right now, is that there's so many applications. So the opportunity for this company to really, quote unquote, scale a lot of
lots of different ways
is really you can go many different directions.
But then, it's
what do you want the
right
world? What do you want the world to know? What do you want people to know about this company?
Well, I think that this company has a unique technology that has gone through 5 years of development. There's been quite a bit of DoD funding, about $5 million in Department of Defense funding has gone into
it. Fabulous.
And so. Now we're ready to, open up the doors and get a broad use of applications and really build volume. So
So Nick, with you being on board now, I mean, obviously you're in the driver's seat to do that. And with the experience that you've had like at A-Long, what was attractive about coming to Nano Grip Tech? I mean, obviously seeing all these different scenarios in which you can take this product and attack different industries. Where do you start? Where do you think is your best entryway to start really scaling Nano Grip Tech and really getting the product out there?
Well, I think that the consumer applications are really interesting.
Absolutely.
So we are very excited about one of the most the largest players in the eyewear industry incorporating our technology. So I think that's just a starting point, and that can move on to earbuds, to fitness bands. Those are all things that,
as Paul was talking about that earlier, I was thinking to myself, man, that has to be that's a problem everyone has. I mean, you're out there, your glasses are sliding off your face, your earbuds are popping out. If there's an easy solution for that, which apparently you guys have, come on, let's make this happen. Let's go. We're ready for it.
So, so we are, the key thing we need to accomplish in the next 3 months is close the financing. So we're doing a $3 million Series A financing.
Ah, so if there are people listening
there's people listening and are interested, we're kicking that off. We just closed a bridge round. That has some of our local economic development players, Innovation Works, URA, are participating in that, and Grassroots Capital. So that's a big step for us in terms of being able to scale our manufacturing.
Absolutely. And now having it all under one roof in the chocolate factory in Lawrenceville?
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like all the pieces are starting to really come together for you guys.
Maybe we should learn how to be on their production line.
Ooh, yeah. So what does it take to manufacture this stuff?
Right.
If you're manufacturing this in-house, this could be a fun process.
Yeah, absolutely. Our core IP is something that our team will never really outsource. That's something we do. We protect that, a lot of right. trade secrets. But actually going from, you know, the template that has the Gecko adhesive into making, you know, thousands or millions of parts, that's pretty much the same as how people, you know, coat or laminate conventional materials.
Oh, okay.
Conventional
adhesive. Okay. Yeah.
So the high-tech part is not there. So in terms of manufacturing, you know, we can scale that relatively easily.
Gotcha.
And get high volumes
cool.
out.
So we got about a minute or so left. People want to learn more about Nano Grip Tech. Where can they go and really learn more about you guys?
All right, check us out at www.nanogriptech.com.
Just that simple.
Best way.
Yeah. Absolutely. And so you guys in hiring mode? You looking for folks to help you scale? What's up with that?
Yeah, I think the next couple of key hires are a seasoned manufacturing guy, and then we want to hire some important sales roles.
Definitely.
And then we need technicians that are going to be working in our manufacturing
right.
space.
Great stuff. In Lawrenceville, in the heart
in
of it all.
Yeah,
I'm excited for you guys.
It's a great spot to work.
Oh, yeah, we're super pumped for you guys. Really making Pittsburgh proud. We appreciate you stopping by the show and telling us what's going on.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Great stuff. Hey, everyone, we're taking a quick break. We are coming back with more Tech Vibe Radio, I swear. Nano Grip Tech. I love it, Audrey. Too much fun. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
Learn more about the Pittsburgh Technology Council by going to pghtech.org. Hey, everybody. Thanks for keeping your dial tuned right here to Tech Vibe Radio. You know what, Audrey? I had a great interview the other day. I captured it. We had Nihal Mehta from ENIAC Ventures stop by our offices to talk to our startup members about what he looks for in investments. Really cool guy.
And he actually did a presentation and discussion with a whole bunch of entrepreneurs.
He did. And people were walking away pretty pumped.
Yeah, he's a good guy. He's a good guy doing some really great work.
Absolutely.
And had some love for Pittsburgh. So the more that we do
exactly.
to present Pittsburgh to the world and beyond, the better it is.
Absolutely. So you got to check this out. I got to talk to him after the event. He has some great things to say. Tell me what you think, Audrey. The coolest people come through our offices on a regular basis, and I get the pleasure of interviewing them and getting their insights. So much fun. And we have Nihal Mehta here from ENIAC Ventures coming to talk to our members, our entrepreneurs, about what he looks for in investments. And he's also taking our picture right now as I do this, which I think is really fun. Never happened before when I've interviewed somebody. So, Nihal, thanks for taking the time to talk to us. Quickly, tell us about your background in ENIAC, and we'll get into some fun questions.
First of all, thanks for the selfie opportunity. I appreciate that. I was an entrepreneur in the beginning. Kind of, my parents actually were entrepreneurs after they immigrated to this country, and I started my first business over 20 years ago and built 5 startups in the tech ecosystem.
Gotcha.
Specifically, the mobile software ecosystem. More on the marketing and advertising side, so mobile marketing through text messages, through display ads, and then mobile ad targeting. And so been through a lot with those 5 businesses. A bunch failed. Some were acquired. We say definitely built up a lot of scar tissue.
Exactly.
Along the way.
You're riddled with scar tissue. And that's what brought you over to the investment side of things after doing a number of startups? What got you into saying, I'm going to put money into companies now?
Yeah, so I never grew up wanting to be an investor. I remember even as a founder, we never thought highly of VCs. They were, you know, the vulture capitalists.
The vulture capitalists. Yeah. We've heard that before.
And it was just by coincidence as we were building companies that we got to meet amazing entrepreneurs
right.
and had the opportunity to invest in their businesses.
Okay.
And I got to see a few amazing stories and journeys from beginning to end that I think inspired myself and my partners to start ENIAC in 2010 now, so almost 10 years ago. And we have, you know, never looked back since.
Very, very cool. So tell us, what are the types of investments you like placing? What kind of companies are you attracted to and what's making you happy these days?
So ENIAC, you know, our namesake, we're named after the world's first automated computer.
I was going to ask you about the name. So that's what that is. Okay.
Yeah. That was built at University of Pennsylvania, actually, in the 1940s. And so I think our thesis is true to our namesake, where we're investing in, no, not vacuum tubes, but the next computing interfaces. And so for the first, say, 80 or 90 investments, it was around mobile computing. right? When the iPhone and Android came out, all of a sudden you have a computer in your pocket.
Right.
And there's a whole ecosystem that's emerging, and that's the most personal, intimate, powerful computing interface. I think now there's a lot of interesting stuff on the horizon, the next computing interfaces. So
tell us about those. What are you seeing popping up there? I mean, because you're getting first glimpses. You have lots of people pitching to you and showing you what they're working on. So you're like a first observer of this. What are you seeing out there?
Yeah, it's super exciting. You know, I'd say a couple of years ago, we were looking into the mixed reality world, so augmented reality, mm-hmm. virtual reality. We were looking into conversational interfaces.
Huh.
So, you know, most folks these days know of or have Amazon Echo or right. Google Home in their homes. And so just speaking to computers and having it be part of normal conversations.
Exactly.
You know, I think now we firmly believe in the theme of seamless computing. So computers are around and they're listening and there's sensors picking up our actions and our words and they're augmenting our experiences. So whether it's in chat or it's voice or it's actions that we're doing, there's AI and there's computers that are actually helping us do these tasks a lot better, more efficiently, more productively. And so that's the overarching theme. And I think I mentioned kind of mixed reality and conversational UI. You know, there's a lot of other arenas we're actually digging into. BCI or brain computing interfaces now.
That's where it gets super tricky and a little frightening too.
A little frightening. You know, Facebook's working on their own project. Elon Musk has, you know, Neuralytic and obviously he has kind of brain implants going on. It doesn't have to be that dramatic. I think the fact of the matter is, you know, for example, we're able to ingest an incredible amount of data per second. If you think about it, terabytes of data are collected by our eyes.
Absolutely.
But our output is limited by like one word per.
It's very interesting. I never thought about that, but that's exactly right. Yeah, we're taking all this data in, but then to then output,
it's a whole different story. Or worst case, when you're texting like one letter at a time.
For me, it's like half a letter at a time. I'm awful.
One emoticon at a time. And so a lot of folks are like, okay, we need to increase the output substantially. And so obviously your thoughts are going faster, running faster than
so there's technology that can help our brains process
so
quicker.
Technology that basically translates your brain into, you know, something more tangible. And so, you know,
that's just crazy. I mean, and I know at Carnegie Mellon University, I've seen some research around that.
That's
the Quality Life Technology Center. And it's amazing. I mean, just for people that have disabilities or that had injuries to help them, but then to think just to make me a sharper human being.
That's right.
I would probably need two of them.
Yeah.
In my case, just saying.
60 Minutes had some episode a few months ago where they show literally the interviewer was asking this guy from MIT a question, crazy question, and he's thinking about the question. He's getting the answer in his ear from Google, and then he's answering the question. So
yeah,
that's, you know, another aspect of what's interesting. We're looking into quantum computers. We're looking into space technology. We're looking into computational biology. We're looking into, you know, our latest investment might be in the food tech arena.
Wow.
So kind of all over the place.
So you, at the end of the day, you get to have a lot of fun.
We have a lot of fun.
The same day twice for you then.
That's absolutely right. Yeah.
And so how many pitches do you get over the course of a year? I mean, people are probably coming out of the woodwork.
Yeah.
Knowing that you have this diversity of what you're interested in.
Yeah.
I mean, at some point, is it like enough?
It's never enough. You know, we remember how tough it is to be an entrepreneur,
right.
And I think we definitely value, you know, all the journeys that everybody's embarking on. So we want to be able to be as helpful as possible. You know, reality is we invest in about an average of one company a month.
Okay.
We see about 500 a month.
Wow.
So very quickly, majority of those companies, say 400-ish of the 500, are not a fit because of our stage or sector. They're too early, too late, or there's not core tech at the heart of these companies.
So you need those big numbers to get to that one that's really going to take you forward then.
So we do work on about 50,
okay.
And then we end up doing one on a monthly basis. But all the other entrepreneurs that we meet, that we engage with, we try to give them something of value. We remember sure. as founders, even investors that passed on us.
You refer to other folks that maybe fits into their portfolio at that time? Or
just that one intro that can change the trajectory Definitely. Of that company. It doesn't necessarily have to be another investor. I remember when I was a founder, and a VC that passed on me made an intro to somebody at a very large tech company that actually dramatically changed their strategy and trajectory. And we want to be those investors that can open up our networks. If you're building the impossible and doing sacrificing your life to build a startup, the least we can do during our meeting with you is, if we're not going to invest, you know, help.
I love that attitude. That's awesome. I mean, I'm hoping more investors are like that as well, because it just makes the whole world better in that regards.
That's right.
As far as that goes. So what are your thoughts on Pittsburgh? I mean, we're so happy to have you here bringing your insight. We had a room just packed full of our startup companies just hanging on to everywhere. Just say, Pittsburgh so far, is it any thoughts?
I love it. I'm having a great experience so far. You know, really excited to go to the AI conference today.
We're so happy to have that. Having that type of a conference here in Pittsburgh is just fantastic for us.
Well, CMU just announced that they're the first to have a real degree.
Yeah, the first undergrad degree
in AI.
Which is amazing. It just shows where that's going.
Which is incredible. Because we know that, like, typically tech – the tech community is not very good at marketing, and so the fact that, you know, this marketing came across means that it's real.
Right.
We're excited. It's definitely aligned with our strategy, and so I'm hoping my goal today, my KPI, is to come away with some entrepreneurs we'll invest in, and it's a very short flight from New York, so hopefully we'll be here a lot more.
Excellent. We hope to have that flight going back and forth with you on that plane, hanging out with us, because we're so glad you're here in Pittsburgh. If people want to learn more about ENIAC, where can they go and check you out?
ENIAC.VC, so that's ENIAC.VC.
Just that simple. Thanks for your time, and thanks for hanging out with us here in Pittsburgh.
Thanks for having me.
So, Audrey, what do you think? I mean, he is, as you know, he's a great guy, but he's got such great positive energy, don't you think?
He does, right? He doesn't have that much of a cynical eye.
No, he's very down to earth for all he's accomplished and what he does. He keeps it, I think, pretty on the level.
Right out of undergrad.
Exactly.
At Penn.
Yep,
right.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Such a cool dude. That's why we love doing this job, Audrey, because we get to hang out with some of the best and brightest people out there. And that's why I encourage everybody, every single Friday, keep your dial tuned right here at Tech Vibe Radio. We're trying to bring you the best of what's happening here in Pittsburgh's technology scene. And at the Pittsburgh Technology Council, Audrey, 35 years. I know. It keeps freaking me out. And we have a special timeline we're putting together for the end of the summer that we're going to be unveiling that I'm pretty excited about, kind of talking about Pittsburgh's tech industry over the past 35 years and how it's evolved. There's some crazy glasses, crazy ties, and crazy suits.
That's I know. They I were say. Wearing ties and suits. Isn't that funny?
Now it's like it's so much
People
fun
go to work in their pajamas.
Pretty much. We try to as much as we can,
I know.
Right?
It is so funny. The evolution. The evolution.
Mm-hmm.
Of how we work and how we dress.
Exactly.
What our hours are, what it looks like. Everyone had an office.
I know. Absolutely, man.
So exciting
cool. time. So cool. Anyhow, more coming every single Friday. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
Learn more about the Pittsburgh Technology Council by going to pghtech.org, and then have an awesome weekend.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.